The following is a lecture to Gurukula boys on hearing and chanting, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 12th, 2012, in Sri Vrindavan Dham, India.
Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagra Jada Sahagana Raghunathan Vita Dham Sajiva Sadvaita Zavaduta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine.
So everyone is engaged in hearing and chanting. The difficulty is we're not hearing and chanting about Krishna. It's like you boys over there, you see, you're talking to each other. It's hearing and chanting. You see, but it's the wrong thing. You must be quiet and listen. Otherwise, that's not a good thing. It's a nonsense thing. You must hear and chant very quietly. You must hear. Don't be talking. It's very, you know that pastime of Prabhupada? He was, Bhakti Siddhanta was giving lecture, and some old man, deaf, he was asking, what is he saying, what is he saying? So Prabhupada was trying to explain with to the old man, and Bhakti Siddhanta chastised him like anything for talking during the lecture. So Prabhupada is, Bhakti Siddhanta was furious, he was absolutely furious at Prabhupada, the talking during the lecture. So you should not talk during the lecture, otherwise you will, the anger of the acharyas will fall upon you. The anger of the acharyas. This process of hearing and chanting is very, very important. This is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. 10.8 Machchitan madgata prana boliyanta parasparam katayantaschamam nityam chishanti charamanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great bliss and satisfaction by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So do you boys then now realize what is the benefit of talking about Krishna? Is it just some assignment you have to do for your school? Or is there some actual tangible benefit that goes beyond, you know, getting a grade and getting a certificate at the end of your studies? Do you understand this point, or are you thinking about something else? Why are you even looking that side? You should be focusing here, your attention. You should focus here, not something over there. You see. Prabhupada was so firm on this point of all the attention being focused on the lecture. I was with Prabhupada in 1975 in Atlanta. And Prabhupada was giving the morning lecture. And in the kitchen, the cook, he was cutting some fruit on the cutting board. Cut, cut, cut. Prabhupada said, "What is that sound?" Even that slight little disturbance of the cutting of the fruit in the kitchen. Prabhupada said, "What is that sound?" Prabhupada said, "What is that sound?" This is how strict Srila Prabhupada was. There should be no distraction. The cook had to stop cutting or do it silently, you see. This, we have to learn how to focus. Now everybody's attention is going here and there and everywhere. But you have to learn how to focus. This is called meditation. How to concentrate on Krishna is meditation. The present moment, our minds are like those Vrindavan monkeys, you see, running here, running there, stealing this, stealing that, isn't it? Biting my disciple here, Mardha Muni, he got bit by a monkey yesterday. Right here, he bit him right here. So these monkeys, you see, we don't want to be like monkeys doing all nonsense, you see. Running here, biting here, stealing there, you see. So don't be like a, don't let your mind be like a monkey. When I'm sitting here looking at all of you in the class, I can see whose mind is like a monkey. I can see it immediately in your face. If you have a monkey mind, or you have a sadhu mind. You see, you have a sadhu mind, or you can have a monkey mind. If you can fix yourself in Krishna consciousness, that is called sadhu mind. And if you can't, you're simply monkey mind. And monkey business, in English language, is a saying, monkey business, it means nonsense. He's always doing some monkey business, that means nonsense. Mischievous, rascal activities, monkey business. So don't be a monkey character. And for one who cannot focus his mind on Krishna, whose mind is like a monkey, do you know what kind of birth he gets in his next life? Anybody can guess what kind of body he might get? Monkey. So, don't become a funky monkey in your next lifetime. By letting your mind dance uncontrollably, you'll simply become monkey. But if you will focus like a sadhu, like a Shukadeva, like a Parikshit, you see, like the sages of Namasharanya, if you will focus on Shabda Brahma, then the result will be you'll become a great sadhu. I was counseling a brahmachari yesterday. He was a little unhappy, thinking about, I want this, I want that. But actually, if you just learn how to become a sadhu, you see, that's all you have to do. And how do you become a sadhu? By hearing. What is the proof? Prabhupada. Prabhupada told us, actually you may know the story, you see. He was a young businessman. He was the manager of, it's actually quite an amazing story. Can you imagine a 22-year-old kid? He's made the manager of the largest chemical factory in all of India. 22-year-old boy? Dr. Bose introduced the Western style medicine to India. He had a big, huge laboratory factory in Calcutta. Big, big, big thing. It was a huge business. Big, big thing. And Prabhupada was a 22-year-old boy. He was put in charge as the manager of this whole thing. So anyway, That's a whole story in itself. But Prabhupada, he had just gotten married, and he didn't. He could have surrendered as a brahmachari, but he just gotten married. He had some children. He had householder duties. So his business activities took him to Allahabad. He had the Prayag Pharmacy. He was a pharmaceutical businessman, Prabhupada. So he had met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922 at a place in Calcutta called Uttadanga. You've seen maybe in the airport, when you come in the airport, I've seen the sign going between Mayapur and the airport, Uttadanga. Oh, there's Uttadanga. Now we've actually acquired ISKCON as a prior that property, where Prabhupada first met Bhaktisiddhanta on the rooftop. ISKCON now has that property, so we can all go on Parikrama there, you see, to see the place where Prabhupada first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So anyway, getting the real point here. Prabhupada, at that time, Abhay Chandan Day, he was a pharmaceutical businessman in Allahabad, and then the Gaudiya Math devotees, they came to Allahabad to open a center. And Prabhupada, or Abhay Chandan, was very, very happy to receive them. And he helped them in many ways to establish the movement there in Allahabad. And then he was so busy, he never had time to go here, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But then there was a Vrindavan Parikrama. Just like we have the Braj Mandal Parikrama, you know? So Bhaktisiddhanta, along with his disciples, was doing Braj Mandal Parikrama. Every, you know, different, setting up a camp here, moving around the Braj Mandal. And so Prabhupada took time off from his business to go here, Guru Maharaj. Now, so every night there'd be a lecture, and of course, and, you know, here in Braj, what do many people do in the evening? They go for darshan. Instead, they go to Banki Bihari, they come to Krishna Balaram, they go to Radha Raman. You know, it's a time for darshan in the evening. It's cooled off, the heat of the day. Now you can go for darshan. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he spoke in very, very big, big words. The materialistic dominar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat. In this way, he would talk in very big words, you see. Even we native English speakers, we have to get out our unabridged dictionaries. What's he talking about? It's English, but this, I've never heard this English. This is for scholars, you know, highly advanced scholars. And most of the disciples are simple Bengali village boys. They don't know what Guru Maharaj is talking about. They can't figure out what in the world he's talking about. So everyone had a choice. You can go for the Pravachan or you can go for the Darshan. You go for the lecture, you go for the Darshan. So where did most of the people go? Darshan. And only a small handful would be there to hear Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati giving lecture. You know, the sannyasis, a few sannyasis, and that's about it. But there was, along with the sannyasis, there was one pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad named Abhay Chandan Day. And he would sit there and he would hear very carefully. So just like I'm asking you all, just like you're not, I see you're trying to talk there, you must stop there. Don't do that. You just hear nicely. You focus right now, not other places. You focus right now. You must focus. I saw you doing something else. Don't do that. You focus. Everyone must focus. Don't be a monkey-minded person. Okay? No monkey mind. You focus on what's being said. Pay attention. Don't do other things here. Pay attention. So, Prabhupada would pay attention. Even if he couldn't understand what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, he would pay rapt attention. You know what rapt means? Rap means fixed concentration, deeply absorbed, deeply engrossed in what was being spoken. Rapt attention, you see. It's like I'm asking you to have rapt attention. Very, very focused on what I'm saying. Not your mind going here and there, but you hear what I'm saying, you take it deep into your heart. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, Prabhupada would do that. He didn't know half the time what Guru Maharaj was talking about, even though he had been trained in a British university, Scottish Church's College,
He had studied English in college, but still he couldn't understand what Guru Maharaj was talking about half the time. But still, he said, I would understand, or I would not understand, but still I would go on hearing. And therefore, then it was not, you know how in ISKCON they recommend somebody for initiation? Okay, we recommend so-and-so. So the devotees in Allahabad, they recommended this pharmaceutical businessman, Abhay Chandanday, for initiation. And Bhakti Siddhanta said, oh yes, the others go away, but he hears. Therefore, yes, I will initiate him. So if you want to become qualified to be recognized by the spiritual master, then all you have to do is be a good listener. So I hope that all you boys someday will become qualified for initiation and can take initiation from one of the gurus of ISKCON. So I'm trying to train you now how to hear, because this is the qualification. The best, if there's one training you can get from your whole education in Gurukula, if there's one thing you can take away from you, that is learn how to hear. That's all. If you can just learn how to hear, that is the perfection of your Gurukula education. If you can't do anything else, if you can just learn how to pay attention and hear, you see, without your monkey mind dancing here and there, if you can just learn how to tune in and turn on to higher consciousness and not fall asleep. Haribo. Tune in to higher consciousness. Stay alert. Stay fixed up. Don't let the mind drift off into dreamland, you see. Stay fixed. This is the transcendental platform. This Shabda Brahman, glorification of Krishna, glorification of Prabhupada, giving the teachings of the great Mahajanas, this is the transcendental platform beyond the world of birth and death. If you can tune into this subject matter with full attention, you're a liberated soul. You're a liberated soul. So, do you boys want to be liberated? Then learn how to hear with rapt attention. You see, that's all you have to do. And what does that hearing and discussing Krishna do? I quoted that verse. Ramanticha. Tashyanticha ramanticha. They relish great bliss and satisfaction by this chanting and hearing about Krishna. I mean, you like to enjoy. You boys like to have a good time, don't you? You like to have fun, don't you? You enjoy having a good time? Everybody wants to have fun. Everybody. Little children, old people, men, women, Indians, Americans, Europeans, Chinese, Burmese. Everybody likes to have a good time. But nobody is doing it the right way, except for the devotees. Nobody knows how to have a good time. They try to have it by what means? Sense gratification. Why doesn't sense gratification satisfy you? Because it's not you. You are not your body. Isn't it? Is anybody here their body? Or you your body? No, you. So, just imagine, you see. Here's my kirta, for example. And I see a nice bowl of sweet rice there, okay? Say, okay, now I'm going to enjoy this sweet rice. I stick my kurta in the sweet rice. Can I enjoy the sweet rice by sticking my kurta in the sweet rice? I just get my kurta all sticky. I'll have to wash it. Listen. There's no enjoyment sticking my kurta in the sweet rice. So what is material sense gratification? It's simply sticking your kurta in the sweet rice. That's all. Because your body is just like your kurta. It's not you. And if you gratify the senses of your body, it's the same thing as sticking your kurta in a bowl of sweet rice. It doesn't make any sense. You can't be satisfied. Yeah, I had a great time last night. I stuck my kurta in a bowl of sweet rice. I mean, nobody can enjoy doing that. Only an idiot. Worse than a monkey mind would think he's getting enjoyment by sticking his kurta in a bowl of sweet rice, you see. So material sense gratification is nothing more than sticking your kurta in a bowl of sweet rice. So I hope you boys won't be so stupid to think you can enjoy material sense gratification. I really hope that you will be not so stupid to think that way. Because if you're not your body, then why would sense gratification be the most important thing? Obviously it's not. You just take enough sense gratification to stay healthy. You got to eat, you got to sleep, okay. Take whatever you need to be healthy so you can do your real work of hearing and chanting about who? The cricket stars? The politician? The rock and roll star? No. Krishna. Well, why Krishna? Why not the cricket stars or the rock and roll stars or the you know, the politicians? Why not them? Well, I'll tell you why. You become like that with which you associate. So even thinking about somebody, you're associating with them in your mind. If you meditate on a cricket star or a rock and roll star or a politician, then you're associating with them in your heart. And because they are caught up in karma chakra, by meditating on them and hearing and chanting about them, you also remain caught up in karma chakra. So if you want to be liberated, and you boys said you wanted to be liberated, how many want to be liberated? Let's see your hands raised up here. Okay, let's say it the other way. Who doesn't want to be liberated? It's unanimous. That's great. Okay. So to be liberated, you have to hear and chant about those who are liberated. And about that one who gives liberation. What's his name? Mukunda. Krishna. Mukunda means the bestower of mukti, or liberation. You know that? Mukunda. It's like my beloved senior godbrother, Mukunda Maharaj. Have you met Mukunda Maharaj? No? He's one of the... Do you know the story of Mukunda Maharaj? It's amazing. He wrote a whole book. It's a wonderful book. I just read that book. It's amazing. He was one of the very first people that met Prabhupada in New York City. In fact, he was the one who found 26 Second Avenue for Prabhupada, the first temple. Mukunda Maharaj is a very, very dear soul. But anyway, Krishna is, you have to talk about those who are liberated or that person who is the bestower of liberation, Mukunda, Krishna, you see. If you will talk about and hear about the liberated souls and the giver of liberation, what will be the result? You become liberated. If you're not liberated, what are you called? A conditioned soul. And what does it mean to be conditioned? It means to falsely identify with a lump of stool, urine, mucus, bile, and blood. If I gave you a bag of stool, urine, blood, and mucus, I said, "This is you," would you be offended? Would you be offended? I said, "Here, this is you." Would you say, "Oh, thank you very much, you're such a compliment"? Or would you be angry at me? Would you be offended? I gave you a plastic bag and said, "Here, get the dirty thing away from me. What are you doing? Stool, urine, mucus, and blood. Here, take it. Ugh. Yuck. Ugh. Get it out of here." Is it? But that's what Maya has tossed this bag of stool, mucus, urine, and blood, and we've said, "Yes, thank you very much, Maya Devi." We're hugging it very tightly. "Oh, thank you. This wonderful bag of stool, mucus, and blood. Oh, I love it. It's great. Oh, yeah, man, it's great. Yeah, man, it's great. Thank you for the stool, mucus, urine, and blood, Maya Devi. I love it. Wow, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's great." You see what we're doing? How stupid we are? This is called condition. You see how Maya has tricked us? We have been cheated by Maya Devi. Maya Devi has cheated us. So don't be, there's a word called befooled. Don't be befooled. That means one who is fooled. Don't be befooled by Maya's trick into identifying that I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm an Indian, I'm a little kid, I'm an old man, an old woman, don't be tricked into Maya, misidentifying with these things. Because if you do, you'll experience nothing but misery. But if you want to taste the bliss, if you want to enjoy the bliss, all you have to do is connect with Krishna by thinking of Him, by talking of Him, by remembering Him. Man manava mamad bhakto madranji mam namaskuru mam vashasi yuktvaya vangadmanang madparayanaha. You have to think of Krishna. You have to become a devotee of Krishna. You have to worship Krishna. You have to offer your obeisances to Krishna. In this way, if you absorb yourself in Krishna, you will go to Krishna. Now, what is the advantage of going to Krishna? Can anybody say? What's the advantage? Like, why not go to, you know, somebody else? Why go to Krishna? The advantage is this. Everybody else that you can go to, like Indra, Ganesh, or anyone else, you know, whatever the cricket stars are, whatever, anyone else you go to, they're living in the realm of death. Even the demigods are living in the world of death. You go to them, they will die and you will also die. But if you go to Krishna, He is living in the realm of immortality. If you go to Krishna, then you will achieve immortality. You will get a spiritual form which never gets sick, it never gets old, it never dies. It's beautiful forever. You see. So right now, you can't even think you'd be an old man someday, can you? It's inconceivable. Isn't it inconceivable to be an old man someday? It's inconceivable for a young boy, isn't it? You can't conceive of being an old man, can you? But someday you'll be an old man like me. It was hard of hearing, you see. What was that? What was that? You know, it'll happen. Every one of us, I was a little kid too, like you all. I was a little kid. Running around, joking, laughing. I remember it, you see. But now I'm an old man, you see. That's time. Time's influence is acting at every minute. At every minute, you're coming older and older. You're going closer to death with every second on that clock of that tick, 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 tick. Every tick means you're one tick closer to death. You see, so it's coming. Death is coming for each of us. But if you don't like that, and I don't like it, I don't think it's... I want to live forever, you see. So all you have to do is be Krishna conscious. Train yourself to be sober about Krishna consciousness right now. Don't have a monkey mind, have a sadhu mind. By when the katha, the Krishna katha is going on, very respectfully here. Just imagine when Shukadeva was speaking to Parikshit. Sages came from all over the universe. A sage even came from Europe. Did you know that the Krishna consciousness was in Europe 5,000 years ago? Vedic culture even went as far as Europe, Bulgaria. Well, somewhere in Europe. There were Vedic sages. There was a Vedic sage that came to hear Shukadeva. He came from Europe to hear Shukadeva speaking. So, just try to be in that mood of those sages. A little boy can be in that. Who's the example? Nope, wait a minute. You're getting carried away with monkey business over there. Don't go into monkey business now. You stay fixed. Stay fixed. Don't get into monkey business. So in this way, be like the sages there. Just imagine if you were a sage on the bank of the sacred river hearing Shukadeva speak to Parikshit. Just imagine you're one of those sages. How much would you pay attention? Would you be whispering to the other sages, you know, when's Pashadam? No, you'd be so absorbed. What is Shukadeva saying to Parikshit? This is history in the making. You'd be completely absorbed. You want to hear every word coming from Shukadeva's mouth, you see. So try to, when you hear from the preach, the senior devotees, try to hear with this mood from your teachers, you see. Try to hear in the mood of a sage, you know. Not some academic thing like a regular school, but you try to hear like a sage hearing from Shukadev, you see. Try to be in that mood. And what will happen? Krishna will manifest in your heart. You can become a fully self-realized, liberated soul even now within your young boy's body. Do you know that? You can become liberated souls like the Kumadas. Even in your present young boy's body, you can become liberated soul. Look at Dhruv. How old was Dhruv? He was a young boy like you. He became completely liberated. Lord Krishna, Vishnu, Prishnigarbha personally appeared to Dhruv. You boys can become perfect liberated souls. You don't have to wait. Well, later on when I grow up, I'll think about Krishna. No. You think about becoming a pure devotee of Krishna right now. You become very serious to achieve pure bhakti, to be a liberated soul right now. That's my best advice to you. So now I can ask if there's any questions. That's one of the regulated principles, by the way. You're supposed to inquire how to advance in Krishna consciousness. That's one of the injunctions given by Rupa Goswami. You must inquire how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So if you can learn how to ask questions like that, that will help you to advance.
You are going to ask questions today.
I asked a few along the way, but yeah, we can get serious. What's the first question then? You good, but it's a good question to ask.
Who did your best hearing?
Of all these boys, who was hearing the best? Huh?
Well, the names that you mentioned.
Do a test on some points of it, maybe? Okay, what was the first verse that I recited in the lecture? Bhagavad Gita verse. Who can recite that verse? Here we go. Jai Panditji. Hare Krishna. That's nice. Any other questions? Okay. All right. Where did Prabhupada have his pharmacy? What city?
Allahabad.
Ah, that's right. Allahabad. Very good. I described two kinds of minds, a sadhu mind, and what was the other kind of mind I described? Monkey mind. Yeah. Now, how many of you here think that you have monkey minds? That's honesty. We all have monkey minds, let's admit it. We all have monkey minds. We have to pray to Prabhupada to save us from our monkey minds and give us sadhu minds, you see. And like, yes, I have a sadhu mind, but no. Now, we all have monkey minds, and we have to beg Prabhupada and our spiritual master, the acharyas, please save me from this monkey mind. Let me have a sadhu mind. Does anybody have questions now from your side?
Any questions, any difficulties they are having? Any questions?
Yes, this boy is.
What is the easiest way of converting our monkey mind to a sadhu mind?
How do you do it? Huh?
Yes, what is the easy?
The easiest way?
The easiest way to convert
our
monkey mind to the sadhu mind.
The easiest way to convert a monkey mind to the sadhu mind is to hear from sadhus with fixed attention. That's the easiest way. That's the easiest way. Just like an example, what's the easiest way to pedal a bike from here to Mathura? It's pretty hard work to pedal a bike all the way from here to Mathura. And what's the easiest way to pedal a bike from here to Mathura? Grab a hold of a bus. Then it's very easy to pedal a bike to Mathura. You just grab a hold of a bus or a truck. So in the same way, if you grab a hold of a sadhu, then your monkey mind becomes sadhu mind immediately. So he's got to grab a hold of a sadhu. That's the key. That's an excellent question. I appreciate that. Okay. Now anybody else have a really cool question? Or is it, even a dumb question is good. Go ahead. Any questions are good.
Can we reach to Krishna only by chanting and hearing?
No, that Mataji. Somewhere.
He said that they can we reach attract Krishna by just chanting?
Can we attract Krishna just by chanting?
Can we reach Krishna
just by chanting? And hearing.
This is the person I'm going to hear from.
Hearing also?
Yes.
Can we reach Krishna by hearing and chanting?
Okay. Can we attract Krishna just by hearing and chanting? The answer is, it depends. In other words, if you can hear and chant in a pure mood of love, then definitely Krishna will immediately appear. But what about if we're not chanting in a pure mood, or even then, gradually it will do that. Even because right now, as monkey minds, you see, our chanting is not pure. Our hearing is not pure. It's mixed in with all these monkey thoughts, you see. But in spite of the monkey minds that we have, if we'll go on hearing and chanting, gradually that monkey mind will become a sadhu mind, and Krishna will appear. So if you have a sadhu mind, Krishna appears immediately. If you have a monkey mind, it takes some time. But either way, by chanting and hearing, Krishna will appear. That's an excellent question. Now whoever asks the best question at the end, they will get this flower garland. And I'll let Guru Mata, my wife, decide who's the best question so far at the very end. Another question, okay.
You told that we should convert our friends also, convert friends as also devotees. But Praji, they are all a conditioned souls. So Praji, what are the ways to convert them?
You said that we have to convert our friends also in Krishna consciousness, but they are all conditioned souls. So
how to do it then? I can tell you this.
Yes.
How to convert your friends to Krishna consciousness? It's very simple. The first thing is we have to convert ourselves, you see. We have to convert that monkey into the sadhu. So, to whatever extent you're able to sadhuize your consciousness, to turn yourself into a sadhu, Krishnaize your consciousness, you become more and more powerful to convert the whole world to Krishna consciousness. See, if you're a devotee, suhridam sarabhutanam, Krishna says, I'm the best friend of all living entities. The devotee is also the best friend of all living entities. He sees everyone as friend, a devotee, you see. So when you say convert friends, that means convert the whole world. I take it like that. How to convert the whole world to Krishna consciousness? So you will have the power. It's called Krishna Shakti. Krishna Shakti Vine Nahatara Parvartana. You, Prabhu, will have the power to convert the world to Krishna consciousness according to how much you have converted yourself to Krishna consciousness. If you have completely purified your consciousness, then you'll have the power to deliver the whole universe. So the answer, it depends upon how much you have purified, how much you have conquered your monkey mind and become a true Krishna conscious sadhu. So I'm encouraging all of you, you see, if you really become sadhus, then you, this room full of boys, you can make the whole world Krishna conscious. You can become the new leaders on this planet. When you grow up, you'll be the leaders of this planet. You'll be the leading people on this planet. If you all can become pure devotees, sadhus, you see, you become leaders. Each one of you become a powerful spiritual leader on this planet who can guide thousands and millions of people how to take to Krishna consciousness. Okay, next question.
How many of them they want to be?
Be what?
To preach and bring more devotees.
How many of you would like to become empowered to make devotees? Very good. So all you have to do is make yourself a devotee. And then automatically, if you become really become a devotee, not just externally, you know, tilak, dhoti, neck beads, but a devotee within your heart, you're always thinking about Krishna, always trying to develop your love for Krishna more and more and more. If you do that, then I guarantee you, you'll become an empowered Vaishnava Acharya in due course of time. Empowered Vaishnava Acharya. And our movement is actually a Vaishnava Acharya factory or a training ground. You know, we are an Acharya university. Prabhupada said in Mayapur, he said, now we are 10,000. And then we will grow to 100,000. And then we will grow to 1 million. And then we will grow to 10 million. He said, there will be no scarcity of acharyas. So the Ritviks, they say, one acharya only, Prabhupada. I guess the trouble is they didn't hear from Prabhupada. They just heard from some mental speculator. Prabhupada said 10 million acharyas. The Ritviks say only one acharya, but Prabhupada said 10 million acharyas. So where are we going to get the acharyas? You boys have to become the acharyas in the future of our movement. You have to become the acharyas to go out and make thousands of disciples all over the world. You see, you have to become the acharyas. How are we going to get the 10 million acharyas? If you don't become the acharyas, where are we going to get the 10 million acharyas? That's my question. So you teachers here, you must train these boys how to become Vaishnava acharyas. You must train them. So you have to also become a acharya. In every respect, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, in all time, place, and desire, you must become a acharya. And then these boys will be inspired by you to become a acharya. Anything else? Boy, they're really coming. That's good. All right.
If anybody is too much attached to chanting, he chants by hearing properly and in a pure mood, but if it is some lecture time or katha time, he is unable to control his mind, it completely borders his murky mind, then what can be the type of food?
His question is this, that if somebody is very much into chanting, and he's chanting his japa, and he's doing very nicely, but when he's sitting in the lecture, but his mind is monkey mind, then what to do?
What to do? That same discipline that he utilized to develop a taste for Nam, he should apply that same mental discipline to developing a taste for Katha. Because actually it's the same thing. Whether I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, or I'm hearing the recitation of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam philosophy, it's the same thing. In both cases, it is Krishna. Hare Krishna mantra is Krishna. This, what I'm speaking now, it is Krishna. This is Bhagavad philosophy. These words I'm speaking to you, they are Krishna. So just as if you pay attention to Krishna, Hare Krishna mantra, and that's why I'm training you boys. I'm not tolerating anybody goofing off here in this lecture. Not one person will I allow to goof off in this lecture. Because this, it's not for my sake, but this vibration is Krishna himself. The topics of Krishna are Krishna. The name of Krishna is Krishna. So I'm training you boys how to be respectful to Krishna, whether it's in the form of the mantra or in the form of the Bhagavad philosophy, it is a Bhagavad Gita philosophy. It is Krishna himself. So if you remember, whether it's the name or it's the teachings, the Vani, Krishna Vani, Krishna Nam, Krishna Vani, they are both Krishna. So if you remember that, then you'll be able to develop that same taste for hearing the Vani as you do from hearing the Nam. Okay? Thank you for that excellent question. Okay, back here.
How can we control our mind and fix it on one place?
How can we control our mind and fix it in one place?
And do what? While sitting in one place?
Fix it in one
place. Oh, yes. How to control the mind and fix it in one place? Excellent question. The standard teaching I've always heard. I've been at ISKCON for 41 years, and I'm just getting started, just getting warmed up now after 41 years. But the standard thing we've always said is, well, you just got to fix your mind on the name. But an amazing instruction I just found recently in the Veda base. Prabhupada wrote a letter to a Mataji named Vallabhi, one of his disciples. He told her this. He said, when you chant your japa, feel the presence of Krishna. And I went, wow. And then Prabhupada said, if you can't do that, then fix your mind in the name. So that's my best advice. It's Prabhupada's best advice. And I'm just passing it on. When you chant japa, don't think it's just some exercise like doing some push-ups or something. It's actually Krishna himself is coming. He's appearing before you. You have to think Krishna has actually come. Now, if Krishna walked into your room, what would you do? Would you just neglect him? Would you give him a sitting place? Give him some water? Bow down at his feet? And say, Krishna, I'm so pleased. Thank you so much for coming here. I can't imagine how fortunate I am. You have come to see me. I'm so fortunate. So, but how much we would be open our hearts and appreciate if Krishna came, isn't it? So just imagine that Krishna is, it's not imagination. Krishna is coming. When you chant your japa, Krishna is personally coming. So how much you open heart, you will receive him. So if you will take the name not as some exercise that you have to fix your mind on, that's like a yogi mechanically. But we are not yogis, we're bhaktas. We are personally receiving the person Krishna. See, the yogi, it's a mechanical thing, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Mechanically fixing. But for a bhakti, it's, oh, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's different. So instead of thinking, I got to fix my mind in the name, think, how can I feel the presence of Krishna? Then your mind's automatically fixed. And then with no endeavor at all. Krishna has come. Oh, Krishna, you're so kind. You've come as your name. And I can associate with you. I've been separated from you for millions and billions of lifetimes, suffering like anything in this material world. But now you've come as Nama to liberate me. Oh, Krishna, thank you, Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare. In this way, you see, then your mind will be completely absorbed in me, totally absorbed. Just try to taste the nectar of the name. That's another way too. Rupa Goswami advises, you see. He says if you simply try to taste the nectar of the name, then your mind is automatically fixed. So that's another way you can do it. Try to relish the nectar of the name. This is the ultimate gulab jamun. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Every Hare Krishna is another gulab jamun, you see. Hare Krishna. It's the ultimate gulab jamun. And you can go on popping in your mouth all day. Every day we get to pop in 1,728 gulab jamun. That's our 16 rounds, is 1,728 gulab jamuns. Wow. That's right there in my bead bag. In my bead bag, I got 1,728 gulab jamun sitting in there. Wow. That's my bead bag, you see. So in this way, you simply try to relish the name. Yeah.
Is that what is Prabhupada's mood when you are chanting? In service of Krishna or in union with Krishna? And what is his mood?
What was Prabhupada's mood when chanting? Was it in with union with Krishna or just union with
Krishna? Well, to know what's going on in Prabhupada's heart, we have no idea. And that's far beyond our comprehension. To actually know what's really, really going on in Prabhupada's heart. How do we know? Prabhupada is far, far beyond our comprehension. I mean, I'll give you an example. What do we say in the Gravastika prayer? The spiritual master is assisting the gopis. How do we know what's going on in Prabhupada's chants? Whether he's having some internal activities of assisting the manjaris and taking in, we have no idea what's going on in there. But if you really want to know Prabhu, you become a liberated soul, and then you'll know everything about him. That kind of stuff is way beyond what we can understand right now. Way, way beyond it. Prabhupada even said that the mood of the Brijabasis, here in the material, the people wandering in Vrindavan who are hankering to see Krishna, we can't even explain. Prabhupada couldn't even explain their consciousness. Their intense hankering to see Krishna is equal to seeing Krishna, but this cannot be explained. So if even that cannot be explained, then how, there's no way I can explain what Prabhupada is experiencing when he chants his japa. It's beyond our ability to explain it. But it can be realized by those who become fully absorbed in Krishna. It can be realized. It's inexplicable, but it's fully realizable. I can't explain it. Even Prabhupada said, this cannot be explained. So this cannot be explained. But it can be experienced by one who has awakened the pure love for Krishna within his heart. So now we must do. Awaken that pure love for Krishna within our heart. And then we will understand everything about this. What the pure devotee experiences within his heart. Okay. Yes.
I wanted to ask, what is the main source of enthusiasm for the neophyte devotee?
I got it fully on that one. What is the main source of enthusiasm for a neophyte devotee? Well, I can give you my own experience. Of course, I still consider myself a neophyte, but when I was a neophyte back in 41 years ago, I joined with it was a very famous sannyasi. Maybe any of you have heard of Vishnu Janaswami? He's a little bit famous in ISKCON. Anyway, he came to Austin and he was so fired up, so much relishing the name, so much fired up for preaching. I mean, he was just an ideal devotee. Prabhupada said Prabhupada really liked him a lot. He really appreciated him. His qualities, the quality of his kirtan, Prabhupada really glorified him like anything. So I was fortunate to have his association. And so when I wrote Prabhupada, normally you would sit at the yagya and Prabhupada would hand you the beads, but I hadn't been in the movement quite long enough when Prabhupada did the yagya in L.A. So I had to wait. So Prabhupada had gone on to London at the time. So I got my beads in the mail from Prabhupada. He chanted on them and mailed them to me. And you could think, well, it's too bad you didn't get them directly from his hand. But I realized here's a very golden opportunity. Now, when I give my, not just, instead of just handing Prabhupada my dakshina, I can write him a letter. Wow, I get to write Prabhupada a letter with my dakshina, which I did. And Prabhupada wrote me back the most wonderful letter. I told Prabhupada I wanted to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. I'd been inspired by Vishnu Janaswami. So I said, Prabhupada, I want to spread this movement. I just made a comment like that, you know. So anyway, I got the most wonderful letter from Prabhupada. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy. Now, he said, just continue enthusiastically as you are doing and surely Krishna will bless you. So, what do we say about the order of the spiritual master? The disciple should take the order of the spiritual master as his very life and soul. Isn't it? So, I said, okay, I got an order from Prabhupada to always be enthusiastic. Now, I'm gonna embrace this order within my heart. I'm never going to let go of it ever. Prabhupada ordered me to always be enthusiastic. He promised me that if I did that, that Krishna would surely bless me. And you know what happened? Prabhupada was right. I've hung under that order for 41 years. I tell you, I've seen ISKCON go through the ups and the downs, the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. But no matter what happened, come hell or high water, I've hung on to Prabhupada's order to always be enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness, no matter what. And Krishna has blessed me and blessed me and blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. So if you will simply realize that enthusiasm attracts the blessings of Krishna as per Prabhupada's instruction to me, and you say, okay, I don't care what's going on, I'm always going to be enthusiastic to go to Mangal Arti, to go to Tulsi worship, whatever my teachers ask me to do, I'm just going to be enthusiastic and be surrendered devotee. Even if my monkey mind says something different, I'm going to tell the damn monkey mind to shut up. You see, I'm going to always be enthusiastic. I'm going to train myself to have the mind of the sadhu by always being enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness no matter what. And the result will be Krishna will shower his mercy like torrents of rain in the monsoon season. So that's what I did. I had a little enthusiasm, and Prabhupada fanned that fire of enthusiasm into a blazing bonfire within my heart. And that fire just keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter, burning away all of my impurities. Yes.
How to control our tongue, which has a tendency to fight, to debate. It is said by acharyas that try to do Krishna Kada, but it is not possible for all the time to have Krishna Kada. But how to control the tendency of tongue?
He is saying how to control the tendency of the tongue.
Tongue. Oh, how to control the tongue? Okay. That's given by Rupa Goswami. Jiva do. You have to begin. The process of bhakti begins with the tongue. There's nothing wrong with somebody as an active tongue. We need preachers who like to talk. We need a lot of them. So, talk about Krishna instead of talking nonsense.
He says, how can we go on talking about Krishna all the time?
Oh, how to go on talking about Krishna all the time? Like it would get boring, like the idea would get old after a while, Krishna would get boring and old, and you'd talk about something different. Well, any mundane thing you can talk about, it may appear to be very enjoyable, but that happiness is the mode of passion. Any mundane topic, I don't care what it is, just take what mundane topic, like cricket or politics or, you know, any mundane topic. It may appear to be very juicy in the beginning, but in the end it becomes very boring and disgusting, actually. But Krishna, talking about Krishna, even though right now in our monkey mind state, it sometimes seems artificial. Why do they talk about Krishna? I mean, when I joined the ashram in Austin, we had a rule in the ashram, you're only allowed to talk about Krishna. You couldn't talk about anything else in the ashram. Any other talk besides Krishna Katha was forbidden. You couldn't talk about anything else except if someone said, you're not talking about Krishna, Prabhu. You better go in the closet. We were only allowed to talk about Krishna and nothing else. No mundane katha was allowed in the ashram. That was the rule posted on the wall. You see? So, that was actually a pretty transcendental rule. Prabhupada told me I'd been trained up under the expert guidance of Vishnujana Swami. So that rule, actually, I take it as having Prabhupada's blessing, to only talk about Krishna. I remember I used to have in my glorious days as a brahmachari. I was a brahmachari for 14 years. I had one of my brahmachari friends, his name was Baba Bhuti Prabhu. He actually pioneered our movement in Assam. He's the pioneer of our movement in Assam. And he was one of the early pioneers in Chennai also, Baba Bhuti Prabhu. He's a great preacher. But we used to be together on a traveling party, and we made a little deal with it. Okay, we're going to be Krishna Katha buddies. And during Prasadam, every day, we're going to get together and talk about Krishna over Prasadam. That was our vow. We made a little pact, you know. We're going to be Krishna Katha buddies, and we're going to sit together and talk about Krishna every day. And it was so sweet. And Baba Bhuti has a special place in my heart, even though he's now departed. He has an eternally a very special place in my heart because we were Krishna Katha buddies, you see. So if you can find devotees that alike want to talk about Krishna and make friendship with them, and when you have time, you get together and discuss Krishna consciousness with them, you'll find that that association will strengthen you in the ability to talk about Krishna more and more and more and more and more. You see, there's no limit to how much. Just like here we are sitting talking about Krishna. Is anybody getting restless? Any monkey minds going wild over there? Huh? Any monkey minds? What if we said, okay, now there's a special benediction from Krishna. You won't need to use the toilet, you won't need to eat, you won't need to sleep for 1,000,000 years. You won't need to eat, you won't need to sleep, you won't even drink water or go to the toilet for 1,000,000 years. You've just gotten a blessing from Krishna, so now we'll sit here for 1,000,000 years and talk about Krishna. That's all we're going to do, is talk about Krishna for 1,000,000 years. Would you say, oh no, horrible, it sounds like hell. We're going to sit here in this room, they're going to lock the door. When the conversation is over, the whole material world will be completely changed, you see. No one, all the countries will be forgotten. Everything, the whole material world will be a completely different place. It won't even be the Kali Yuga anymore. You see? The whole material world, all my friends and relatives will be long gone. The whole material world will be completely transformed. But we're going to sit here for 1,000,000 years and do nothing but talk about Krishna. Could you handle it? Would you run for the door and try to get out as fast as you could? Or would you want to say, okay, I'm ready to sit and hear and chant about Krishna for 1,000,000 years. Would you be ready? You see. The pure devotee says, yes, I'm ready. That's a pure devotee. He has a taste. It's called ruchi. Krishna Katha ruchi. He has a taste for Krishna Katha. If he has the opportunity for Krishna Katha, he feels he's been blessed with unlimited wealth. You see. So in this way, if you will understand and find amongst these boys, you want to get into that mood of talking about Krishna? Who would like to be his Krishna Katha buddy? And when you have free time, talk about Krishna with him. Anyone raise your hand that would like to do that with him? Anybody? Yes? Here's one. Yes? Yes? Here you have three right here. You see who they are? You can get together with them and talk about Krishna. And there's two more. You can get together with them and talk about Krishna. You say, okay, Prabhu, what's your favorite Bhagavad Gita verse? You see, and then you can say, well, my favorite verse is this. And you say, why is it your favorite verse? And you explain why. And you say, well, my favorite verse is this. And I'll explain why. You see, in this way, you can just talk for hours about Krishna. You see, and what's your favorite pastime of Krishna? You see, and what do you remember about? What is your favorite thing about Prabhupada? You see, in this way you can start talking and go deeper and deeper, and that conversation can go on for all of eternity with unlimited depth. You see. In this way you can, not just in the classroom, but outside of the classroom, talk about Krishna. Hear about Krishna. Share your realizations of Krishna with each other. And I guarantee you that monkey mind will go away. You become sadhus. All become sadhus. I think our time is up now. So who asked the best question? You be the judge. Every question was good. Okay, so what I'm going to do is a garland toss. And whoever gets it, gets it. Because every question deserves a garland, so I can't give a garland to everyone. I'm just going to give it a toss. So we thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.